Well, let's take the Word of God and turn to Acts chapter 9, the Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. And we'll read from the opening verse as we have indicated previous to this day. I'm going to preach on our motto text for 2017, and we'll find it in the words of this chapter and the portion that we will read together. And so we'll read it from the opening verse of this chapter, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Amen, and we'll end a reading at the end of the 19th verse. Let's briefly engage in prayer. Our Father in God, we come before thee, and we thank thee that we're found by grace in thy house on this thy day. Lord, we pray that as we sit under thy word and its teaching, its instruction and its challenge, that thou will come and meet with us in the word, that our hearts might be, O God, lifted to thee, challenged by thee. Lord, that thou will grant to us to hear the voice of God in our very hearts and spirits and souls, that we'll hear the voice of the Lord saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it. Lord, answer our petitions. And most importantly, glorify thine own dear Son. For we pray this in Jesus' all precious and wondrous and glorious name. Amen and amen. Well, today brings us to the first day of a new year. Failures, disappointments, and regrets of an old year are behind us. And although this year we'll have our own failures and disappointments and regrets too, this year that lies before us is full of opportunities and prospects to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to go just that little bit further in our walk with God as we ever strive to be conformed to the image and the likeness of God's dear Son. As I came to think and pray about this service, I asked the Lord to guide me with respect to a motto text for this year. And as I did so, I began to reconsider the motto texts of previous years. I thought to myself, how well have I lived up to the counsel contained within our motto text from 2014? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I considered how we saw a partial fulfillment of the promise contained in our motto text for 2014 during the time of gospel mission within that year. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. I find myself asking the question, do I still believe at the end of this old year what I believed at the start of 2016? When we took the words of Zechariah 4 verse 6 as our motto text, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And to that question, I honestly have answered yes. I still believe with all my heart that the prosperity of this work is based solely upon the workings of God's Spirit among us. And thus it behoves us to seek more of His influence in this company of people, and for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit in any way. 2017. And then my mind was turned to this portion of God's Word as I prayed about what the Lord would have us to keep at the forefront of our minds as we make in the will of God our way through another 365 days of a year. It is the words of a question from this chapter that I want to take as our motto text for this year. A question that I pray the Spirit of God will take and sear upon our hearts and minds, so that every day that we rise from our sleep in 2016, that its words will be found ringing in our ears. The question was asked by a newly converted man on the Damascus Road, the words of which we read in the verse number 6 of Acts chapter 9. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Lord, what would thou have me to do? That's our motto text for 2017. Now, with respect to that question that forms our motto text for this year, there are a number of things that I believe that I can say. Firstly, with respect to that question, it is a proper question. It is a proper question. It is a proper question in the sense that it is a question that every converted soul should ask themselves in light of all that Christ has done for us in the gospel. When Saul of Tarsus was arrested by divine grace on the road to Damascus, he was transformed by the power of God in a moment of time. This man, a few moments previous to this, had been breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the infant New Testament church. A man who was a religious zealot. A man who was a furious bigot. And yet a man who knew not God, and certainly by his works he denied him. But now converted, his heart having been regenerated by divine grace, his sins having been fully pardoned and absolved, and his eternal destiny forever changed and altered, Saul now asks this proper and most suitable question in light of all the gospel blessings that he had just received from the hand of God. Lord, what would thou have me to do? In light of what thou hast done for me, Lord, what would thou have me to do for thee? Now notice with me that Saul did not ask on this occasion, Lord, what are you going to do for me? He did not ask that question. That's the attitude of the 21st century seeker of Christ. What's going to be in it for me if I became a Christian? It's nearly as if the sinner thinks that they're going to do God a favor if they became a Christian. Now that may be the attitude of the self-seeking sinner. Let me say that this attitude of heart should never be present in the life of any Christian. The believer should never ask, what is in it for me now that I'm a child of God? But rather, the attitude of the Christian is, what can I do for the Lord in light of all that He has done for me in the gospel? Lord, what would thou have me to do? The start of 2017, I want you to look back. I want you to look back at the old year. I want you to consider all that God has done for you, even beyond that old year. And I want you to think right back to the moment of your conversion and think of all that God has done for you since that moment of time. I want you to think about how the God of heaven has watched over you, how he's provided for you, how at times he withheld things from you for your good, whilst at other times he had showered and has showered manifold blessings upon your head, how he has guarded you, how he has kept you, how he has blessed your home, your family, your business, how he has pardoned you, forgiven you, restored you and drawn you back onto himself when you've wandered out of the way, how he has adopted you into his family and made you an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I want you to think of all the blessings that Christ has showered upon your head, and in light then of all that God has done for you since the moment of your conversion, ask yourself this question: is it then not proper? Is it not then a suitable question? Is it not a right question for me to ask the Lord, Lord, in light of all that you have done for me, what would thou have me to do? What would you have me to do? Because of all that he has done for me, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Now let me ask you this very simple question. Have you ever asked the Lord that question? You know, folks, it took me 10 years after my conversion before I asked the Lord, without any predetermined idea in my own mind, it took me 10 years after my conversion to ask this honestly of the Lord. Lord, what would thou have me to do? You see, I certainly didn't want to go to Bible college. Anywhere but the Whitfield College of the Bible was my attitude. And yet God, in his sovereign mercy, he brought me to a place in my Christian life that I had to come with a blank sheet before the Lord and ask the Lord to reveal unto me his will for my life, including if he wanted me to go to Bible college. And folks, you know the answer I received. You know, I found that there are too many Christians and they come to the Lord and they pretend that they want to know God's will for their lives. By their lips, they say many great things, but their hearts are far from God. They deceive the Lord. And really what they're coming to the Lord is for the Lord. They want the Lord to rubber stamp their own will for their own lives. But this year, 2017, we need to find ourselves honestly. Honestly asking the question, Lord, what would thou have me to do? With no predetermined plan, with no plan of your own in your mind, you need to take this prayer day after day throughout this year. Lord, what would thou have me to do? And whatever he says, then do it. Just do it. Now, before I proceed any further, I not only want to speak to the believers in this house with respect to this question, but I want to bring a challenge to the hearts of those who know not God and to those who have wandered away from the Savior, who have wandered from the bishop and shepherd of their souls, who in 2016 have grown cold in the things of God, who are walking at a distance from the Master. I want to challenge your heart. Sinner, is it not proper and right for you to ask, Lord, what would thou have me to do in light of all that Calvary accomplished for the sinner, accomplished for a sinner like you? In light of Calvary's sacrifice, sinner, in light of the blood shedding, in light of the sacrifice offered, and in light of his hands and being nailed to the tree as a crown of thorns placed on his head, the sufferings and the buffetings of the blessed Redeemer, the agony that he endured on Calvary's cross, is it not proper and right for you, the sinner, to ask the question, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And let me say that you've been exposed, sinner, long enough in the gospel, exposed long enough to the gospel, to know exactly what he would have you to do. He would have you to relinquish your sins and to flee to the arms of infinite love. He would have you to say farewell to a life of sin and to submit to the supreme governance and control of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have you to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Having crossed the threshold of an old year and into a new year, would this not be a good day? Would this not be as good a day as any to start out in the Christian life and let go and let God have his way in your life, sinner? This is what he would have you to do, to repent and believe the gospel. He would have you to be saved. I fear for some of you, I fear that another year is going to come, another year is going to go, and you're going to die in your sins, and where Christ is, you'll never be. I ask the question, will you ever be saved? Will you ever be saved? Having said under the ministry of a dear servant of God for over 30 years, and now under the ministry of myself for 3 years, I ask myself, will you ever be saved? Will you ever be a Christian? Will you ever be part of the household of faith? Ah, yes. The challenge is in the verse for the unsaved, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He's not your Lord, is he? But he would have you. He would have you that he would be Lord of your life. Supreme, the one in control, the one under whose governance you delight in. He would have you to declare him to be Lord. Lord of all, King of kings within your heart and soul, sinner. But let me address the backslider. You who have been inconsistent in your attendance at the house of God. I've watched it. I have seen it. I have seen individuals throughout this year drifting, growing cold. I've seen young people who once attended our youth meetings no longer doing so. I've seen individuals who once came gladly to our gospel services but no longer do so. I've seen individuals who come sporadically to the services in the house of God. I've seen individuals who once were found at the place of prayer but now no longer. There has been a departure, and I've seen it. And instead of praying for the unsaved, I find myself praying for you. Seeking God for you. Burdened for you. Concerned for you. Going home and wondering, where are they? Where have they been? They've sat at home or they're somewhere else and they've missed a blessing in the Word of God. And I find myself burdened for you. Instead of you being under the burden, you've become part of the burden. But let me say to you, though there has been a departure, thank God there is restoring grace. The great shepherd, that great shepherd Psalm 23, we read those words, he, the shepherd, restoreth my soul. And thank God he can restore your soul. Here we are, the first Lord's Day of a new year, the first day of a new year. Bow your head and heart to God and say, Lord, I have left thee. I have departed from thee. There has been a coldness that has come into my life. The fire is going dim, but blow again upon the embers. Send revival into my soul. Restore me, and may my heart be on fire for God and my soul be consumed in love for thee. This is what the Lord would have you to do. He would have you to remember from whence thou art fallen, to repent and to do the first works, or in the words of Hosea the prophet, he would have you to return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. He would have you to take words and turn to the Lord and to say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And thank God he will. He will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Stop on the road of departure. Please. Please. Your family needs you. Mother, your daughters, your sons need you to be a praying mother. A godly mother. Father, your children need you to be a godly father. Young people, your school friends need you to be a godly young person. In 2017, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He would have you to walk close with the Master. Close to the Savior. That's what he would have you to do. It is a proper question, but moving on, this question before us is not only a proper question, it is a personal question. How simple these thoughts are. How simple they are. Notice with me that Paul did not ask on this occasion, Lord, what would thou have these other men to do? Because we're told in the verse number 7 of the chapter, and the men which journeyed with him, speaking of Saul, stood speechless. And so we find that Saul is not going down this road on his own. He's being accompanied. There's others that are with him on this very occasion. But he did not say on that occasion, Lord, what are these men going to do for thee? You see, Saul wasn't concerned at that moment what the Lord wanted his traveling companions to do. That was between them and the Lord. All that consumed Saul's thinking was what the Lord wanted him to do. You know, there's a man in the Bible who got himself in a bit of trouble with the Savior. When he found himself concerned and preoccupied with what others were doing for the Lord rather than concerning himself about what he should have been doing for the Lord, his name is Peter. In John chapter 21 and the verse number 21, we find him asking the Savior a question concerning John, the beloved disciple. In the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, notice the words, Peter, seeing him, speaking of John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What shall this man do? The Savior gently rebuked Peter on that occasion by reminding him that such was not his business. That he was to concern himself about what God wanted him to do. And so the Savior said to Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. There are too many Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ, and they concern themselves with other people's business. And they concern themselves about the will of God for other people's lives, rather than concerning themselves with their own business and concerning themselves with respect to the will of God for their own lives. No, brother, sister, I would encourage you this year, and I say this graciously, to mind your own business. Don't be asking, Lord, what shall this man do? But find yourself asking God the question, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Because whatever everyone else is doing, and whatever every other family is doing, that's not your business. Joshua sent out the clarion call. He sent it out as he came to die. He's asked the question, whom are you going to serve? And Joshua said, as for me and my house. Because that's who I'm personally responsible for, and that's who I'm going to stand before God and give an account for. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. If the Church of Jesus Christ and other families decide to go another direction, my family is going to serve the Lord. Lord, what would thou have me to do? You know, it's very easy to concern ourselves with other people's lives. Very easy to concern ourselves about what the will of God is for another person's life, while at the same time never seek God for his will for our own lives. So let me ask a very, very personal question to every individual. And I ask it as individuals, young men, young girls, older men, older women, young people. I ask you as an individual this very personal question. Are you doing the will of God in your life? You know, the will of God is not something only for a preacher or for a missionary to seek the mind of God on and then do. Every child of God is to know and to do the will of God. So I asked every believer here today, are you in the center of God's will? Or are you living in God's second best? Are you proving in your own life that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect in its very essence? Are you daily committing your way unto the Lord, acknowledging him in all of your ways in order that he might direct your paths? You see, the words that Paul speaks here in Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road reminds us that the will of God can be known. And not only that, but the will of God can be known in the life of a recent convert. He's only saved. He's only converted. And now he's seeking the will of God. This isn't something for just a mature Christian to seek. This is something for a young convert to seek. Lord, what would thou have me to do? God's will is not some sort of mystical, hidden, secretive thing that God tries to conceal for us. Rather, the will of God can be fully known in our lives if we would only seek him in prayer and be guided by his word and spirit. The will of God can be known for your life as an individual. Before we move on to our final point, let me give you a helpful, I trust, footnote with respect to the will of God that I trust will help you as you seek to do as well this year. As in the case with Saul here in Acts chapter 9, God's will is something that will be, is not something that will be fully revealed to us at a moment of time. It isn't as if God sits down and he gives you your entire life, a manual, a catalogue for you to follow with every different thing that's going to happen within your life. Rather, the will of God is progressively revealed to those as they seek it, as they obediently walk with God step by step. It is a gradual revealing of God's will. You see, Psalm 37 verse 23 states that the steps, not the strides, not the leaps, but that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, initially for this man Saul, God's will for him was simply to go to Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That was the initial will of God for his life. And Saul just obeyed. And so we find him going to the street called Straight, and we find him in the house, and we find him praying because he's waiting on God. The will of God. He's doing the will of God at this particular moment of time, and he's not going to stop doing the will of God until God leads him elsewhere and until God reveals something else with respect even to the will of God for his life. My mind was taken to those words that we find over there in the little book of Ruth. Find it at the end of the chapter number 2, I think it is. No, the chapter number 3. Chapter 3 of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 18. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Here's a woman. She's done the will of God. Here's Naomi giving her daughter-in-law some advice. She said, "Sit still. Just wait. Wait for God. Don't be going ahead. Don't be trying to push open doors with respect to Boaz. Wait on God. God's working at the other end. And he's going to reveal what needs to be done." And this is what we must do, child of God. We obey the Lord where we are. We obey the light that he gives us, and then by his grace, he'll give us more light, and then more light. This is what it is to walk with God. And so, you wait on God. He'll direct your paths when you submit all things into his hand. Just go step by step and walk in the light as he is in the light. And then you'll have fellowship with him. And I say very quickly that this is, in the third and final place, a proper question, a personal question. It is a practical question. Saul did not ask the Lord, "Lord, what would thou have me to believe?" He didn't ask the Lord, "Lord, what would thou have me to profess?" But he says, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" To do. Now it is true, folks, that our doing grows out of our believing. A man cannot do right unless he believes right. But it is not enough that we just believe the right things. We must do the right things. Our right doing is an evidence of our right believing. That's what James tries to get across in his epistle. He speaks about works and faith. And he says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." He was emphasizing that a life that truly believes, an individual who has true saving faith, will in their lives have works that display an inward, genuine work of grace, having been wrought within the heart. Works and faith. Faith first, then works. Because we're not only to be hearers of the word, we are to be doers of the word. Now, what would the Lord have me to do? You know, I could stand and list multiple things of what the Lord would have you to do, and you would just think, there he goes again, a broken record. He's always at us about coming to the prayer meeting, coming to the gospel meeting, witnessing for Christ. He's always at us about obeying the Lord and giving in our tithe and seeking the Lord in prayer. We could list them, multiple things what the Lord would have you to do. But let me try to condense them under a few headings. And we need to turn to Deuteronomy, and we'll try to do this quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is what the Lord would have us to do. These verses may be condensed down. They condense down what the Lord would have us to do this year. Deuteronomy chapter 10. These words are spoken by Moses to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, the verse number 12. "And now, Israel, the question is asked to them, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Same sort of question. What would you have me to do? Lord, what would thou have me to do? What does the Lord require of thee? Now, we are the Israel, the spiritual Israel of God. We're reminded of that in Galatians chapter 6. We are called there the Israel of God, the church is. And so this can be applied to our hearts just as much as to national Israel, because we are of Abraham's seed, spiritual seed, the seed of faith. We've been engrafted into the vine. And so we could ask ourselves, well, what does the Lord require of thee? Well, let's look at Moses' response. "To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Very quickly, he would have us to have a godly fear. To fear the Lord thy God. This is not the terrifying fear that a slave would have of his austere master. Rather, it is a fear that a loving, dutiful, obedient child would have of his father, one who desires not to grieve or dishonor his father or the family name in any way. And God is our Father. So it ought be to be the child of God's desire to reverently fear him in all that we say, do, and think, so that we may not grieve or disgrace him in any way. Because this year God would have you and me to fear the Lord. Secondly, he would have us to have a consistent walk, to walk in all his ways. A man or woman will not walk in God's ways until the fear of the Lord is first established within their heart. Such a godly fear, I believe, will guide the Christian into the ways of the Lord and restrain them from walking in paths of disobedience. That walk will guide the Christian's feet to the house of God, to the quiet place, to the place of Bible study, to the place of prayer. It'll cause them to walk the pathway of holiness, cause them to tread the paths of Christian duty. He would have us to walk consistently, yes. Thirdly, God would have us to have an affectionate heart to love Him. To love Him. You know, our love for God is a touchstone by which our profession of faith is to be judged by whether or not it's genuine or not. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there's nothing more sickening and repulsive to God than that of insincere love. The Bible reminds us that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And that if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And that we are, if we love Him, we are to obey His commandments. You see, our obedience to God grows out of our love for God. And this year, God would have you and me to love Him more. Fourthly, God would have us to give Him wholehearted service. To serve the Lord thy God, it says, to serve Him, verse 12, with the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. No half-hearted service this year. No half-hearted service, brethren and sisters. Forever at it. Everlastingly at it. Reaching others with the gospel, telling others of the good news, forever at it, unrestrained, wholehearted. That's what He would have us to do in this year. We're not only served to rejoice in salvation, but we are saved to glorify God in a life that is consecrated to Him in service. It is but a reasonable service in light of His great sacrifice for us. Fifthly, finally, He would have us to have an obedient will, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. What would God have me to do in 2017? He would just have you to gladly submit to His laws and to bring your life into conformity with His commandments. It's very simple, and yet so difficult, because within us is a heart that rebels against God and is full of pride. And there's such resistance in the old nature to this conformity to God's laws and His commandments. Listen, folks, did you notice the promise at the end that if we did such things, it was going to be for our good? It's for our good. If we keep His commandments and we keep His statutes, it will be for our good and it will ultimately be for God's glory. And so I pray that as we rise every morning in 2017 in the will of God, that we'll be found asking this very proper, this personal, this very practical question as we seek to live a life that is well-pleasing to God. Lord, as I go to school, as I go to my place of employment, as I work around the home, Lord, today, what would Thou have me to do? And I believe the Lord will lead and guide. God will bring you into the very center of His will, just doing what God wants you to do. A life well pleasing to the Master. May God help us, therefore, to seek and to do the will of God. Let's bow in prayer. We thank You for Your attention. We just remind every family to take a little calendar on the way out, and then every individual to take that other little piece of paper as well, and those ladies that can help with food, tray bakes, for the baptismal service this Wednesday night, please speak to Andrea. She'll be in the hall. and we'll be glad of your help. Our Father in heaven, O God, we cry to thee, Lord, what would thou have me to do today? Lord, thou would have me to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Lord, you would have me to live a life that is pleasing to thee. Lord, we cry to thee that thou would be gracious to us, and Father, that the chief concern in our lives would be the will of God for us, not for some other individual in this church family. Conscious that we and every man himself will give an account of himself to God. God, let me do the will of God this year. Show me the way ahead. Guide my paths and my steps. Direct my family. Lord, give us wisdom. And give us a willing heart just to follow the Master, wherever that will be. And so answer prayer and be with us the rest of thy day and bring us back to this place in the will of God, to glorify thee and to hear of what Christ has done for others and what he can do for others in the gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and all glorious name. Amen and amen. Thank you.